shot at or rounded up by uniformed officers. And those officers, as Trump demonstrated in his first term, he would like officers to just do whatever he says, which could include shooting people like they did at Kent State, or other things.
On that note, Jan Goodman, attorney, I want to thank you very much for joining us on Politics or Pedagogy.
You're welcome. Thank you.
This is John Crumshaw with a special Politics or Pedagogy Education Report.
On KPFK, you hear more than a soundbite. That's education. That's our mission.
KPFK, now in our fund drive. Please make your contribution at 818-985-5735 or pledge online at kpfk.org.
You're listening to KPFK 90.7 FM, Los Angeles.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Middle East in Focus. I'm Esty Chandler. Last week, DropSite News, a new but mighty news site for all who seek the truth and appreciate independent investigative journalism, reported on government censorship of social media content. Logically, government requests for takedowns of social media posts almost always focus on posts made by citizens inside that government's borders. Not surprisingly, according to internal data from social media giant Meta, compiled and provided by whistleblowers to a dedicated team of investigative journalists at DropSite News, the internal mechanics of Meta's Integrity Organization, which is a team within Meta dedicated to ensuring safety and authenticity on its platforms, revealed, quote, a sweeping crackdown on posts on Instagram and Facebook that are critical of Israel or even vaguely supportive of Palestinians was directly orchestrated by the government of Israel, end quote. As DropSite reports, quote, what makes Israel's campaign unique is its success in censoring speech in many countries outside of Israel, end quote. Data the team at DropSite received shows that Meta, the second largest media company in the world, has complied with 94% of takedown requests issued by the Israeli government since October 2023. It also shows that Israel is by far the biggest originator of takedown requests globally, and that Meta has compliantly responded to the Israeli government's deluge of requests by widening the net of posts it automatically removes, creating what is probably, quote, the largest mass censorship operation in modern history, end quote. I am very happy to be joined today by two of the authors of the DropSite News report titled Leaked Data Reveals Massive Israeli Campaign to Remove Pro-Palestine Posts on Facebook and Instagram, Waqas Ahmed and Nicholas Rodello. Waqas Ahmed is a journalist at DropSite News focused on the intersections of technology and politics. His recent work includes an investigation into Microsoft's support for the Israeli Defense Forces during their ongoing war in Gaza, as well as extensive reporting on human rights abuses by the Pakistani military and the role of U.S. foreign policy in enabling those violations. And Nicholas Rodello is a data analyst and researcher for DropSite News focused on the American far right. His data work on conservative American academics is published in the recent book, Academic Trumpists. He previously worked as a data analyst in the tech sector, as well as a public policy simulation nonprofit, where he was focused on simulating the Special Supplemental Nutrition Program for Women, Infants, and Children, or WIC, and SNAP, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, which provides monthly grocery benefits to to eligible individuals and families. And both of those programs are currently under attack by the Trump DOGE administration. It is truly a pleasure to welcome Nicholas Rodello and Makas Ahmed to Middle East in Focus. I am not hearing you guys. Can we try your sound again? How about now?
Hello.
We got you now, Nicholas?
Can you hear us?
Yeah, we got you now. Thank you very much to our control room. Because Meta's takedown requests, or TDRs, allow individuals, organizations, and government officials to request the removal of content that they allege violates Meta's posting policies. The documents provided to DropSite for your report indicate that the vast majority of Israel's requests, 95%, are alleged to fall under Meta's terrorism or violence and incitement categories. Do the documents and data provided by the whistleblowers show who the individual users the Israeli government requests have targeted for takedown are? And if so, are there trends and what could we learn from them?
Yeah, actually, we don't have individual data. If whistleblowers had provided us with individual posts, that would also be a violation of like a lot of people's privacy. So we don't have individual data. We have compiled data of how many requests were sent and how many were accepted. And we see there's 90,000 takedown requests that Israel sent to Meta, and they were mostly accepted by Meta. And that's like the crux of the story, the core of the story. Like for our listeners, I can go over how the process of takedown request goes. So as an individual, if you're a user of Facebook or Instagram, you see a post, and if you feel that it violates Meta's policies, and if you feel that it falls under any category of hate speech or violence or terrorism, you report that post. As an individual, that post, once reported, goes to Meta's AI. So Meta's AI makes the assessment if this is likely to violate Meta's guidelines or unlikely to violate Meta's guideline. If it makes the assessment that it is more likely, it is more probable that it violates Meta's guideline, it gets taken down. If it makes an assessment that we cannot for sure tell that it violates a guideline or not, it goes to a human moderator. If it makes the assessment that it does not violate Meta's guideline, the post stays up, no action is taken. So once it goes to humans, these human beings may then make an assessment if it violates Meta's guidelines or not. Once that assessment is made, that post is again fed back into Meta's AI, so that in the future, if a similar post shows up, Meta's AI can make the assessment without human intervention. So this is the cycle of a takedown request. When a government sends a takedown request, that usually will go to a human being. That will not go to an AI. That goes to a human being, and a human being makes an assessment if it violates Meta's guidelines or not. And in the end, that post also is fed to Meta's AI machine. So we see in this whole cycle, Israel has been sending outsized number of takedown requests, and most of them takedown requests are about posts that are not originating in Israel, that are from other countries. So in effect, Israel is censoring citizens of the world.
Right. And Nicholas, as I mentioned in the opening, your reporting reveals that Meta responded to the deluge of takedown requests by Israeli authorities by actually widening their automatic removal regime. Your report also shows that Meta removed over 90,000 posts in response to takedown requests submitted by the Israeli government within an average of 30 seconds. So that seems like it can't have had human intervention. Can you talk more about Meta's significant expansion of automated takedowns since October of 2023? And how many posts are estimated to have been actioned upon across Facebook and Instagram since late 2023? And please also let us know what the term actioned upon actually means. And if there's a different kinds of requests listed in various Israeli government takedown requests, or if they all fall under the, you know, terrorism or violence and incitement.
Yeah. So as Lukasz was saying, and thank you again for having us on here. As Lukasz was saying, these posts, when the Israeli government filed the takedown request, you know, they have a priority channel, a human reviews it. And as we see, you know, they get 94, 95% of those accepted, right? So the way that widens the system is actually, it's kind of a feedback loop. So when those posts have a priority channel, 95% of them get accepted, those decisions then feed back into the automated systems that Meta uses to assess content, as Lukasz was discussing. Basically, it's kind of a vicious cycle, and it's called a data poisoning attack, is the technical term. If somebody, you know, whether inside the organization or outside the organization, is aware of how these systems like use the data that Meta feeds into it, then you can kind of make a concerted effort to attack it. In the documents that we were provided by whistleblowers, they estimated. And I say estimate because they highlight that with these AI models, one of their big flaws is you can never get a complete answer as to why they decide. They're using billions and billions of data points in the case of Meta every time they make an action. So they had to use a method to basically extrapolate out, comparing, you know, period over period, how many more posts were removed. And what they estimated was 38.8 million additional posts were removed as a result of these efforts. And, you know, part of the evidence there, too, is that this is seen across the board in multiple countries. As you mentioned already, Israel is the largest originator. They're the largest originator per capita. I think the only two countries that actually beat them out on a raw numbers basis were India and Brazil.
Huge populations.
Yeah, hundreds of millions to billions of people. But yeah, per capita, Israel had the most. And also unique to Israel is the fact that they target the vast majority, I think 95, 96% of posts outside their own country. Most countries target their own content from citizens within their own borders. Israel, on the other hand, primarily targets countries within the Middle East or North Africa.
You're listening to Middle East in Focus on listener-supported KPFK. I'm Esti Chandler, very happy to be joined today by two of the four authors of a damning report at fellow independent media outlet DropSite News titled "Leaked Data Reveals Massive Israeli Campaign to Remove Pro-Palestine Posts on Facebook and Instagram," Lukasz Ahmed and Nicholas Rodello. If you are enjoying our conversation, our phone number is 818-985-5735. That's 818-985-5735, or you can log on to kpfk.org to support our own fiercely independent public radio station, KPFK. We are once again in Fund Drive, and as we're all now likely experiencing the Trump Doge takedown, not just of social media posts, but of all of our First Amendment freedoms, including press freedoms, we need your support more than ever to stay on the air and continue bringing you independent voices like those of our guests today, Lukasz Ahmed and Nicholas Rodello. The Trump Doge administration and Project 2025 are clear about their desires to dismantle media, which has long been a target of the far right, who famously prefer alternative facts. KPFK belongs to all of us. This station belongs to the community, and we need it more than ever to help us cull through the barrage of distractions and disinformation being thrown at us to make us feel dejected and powerless. This community has kept Middle East in Focus on the air for over 40 years and KPFK alive for 75 years. I'm asking you to help us stay on the air at this crucial time by donating whatever you can afford. No donation is too small. If you appreciate our programming, if you depend on our reporting, If our music and cultural shows get you through your days, please grab your phone now to make a pledge at 818-985-5735 or online at kpfk.org. Lacoste, your article also highlights several key leadership positions at Meta, which are filled by individuals with personal connections to the Israeli government, including Guy Rosen, a former Israeli military official who is running the integrity organization I mentioned. What can you tell us about Guy Rosen and the relationship between Meta's integrity organization and Meta's policy organization?
Yeah, so Rosen is a former Israeli military official who has served in like their very famous unit 8200 that has to do with the Israeli cyber commands and cyber operations. So he's also worked for this. He's had a startup that was acquired by Facebook, and now he works with Facebook. And there's like Jordana Kertler, who's also at Facebook. She has also previously served the government of Israel. And we see, like, we don't see in the data direct links between these individuals and the decisions that have been taken, but we see this willingness from Facebook, from Meta, to allow this kind of data poisoning attack against itself happen without any actions. And this has been brought into attention of Facebook, of Meta, and Meta's integrity organization, and they have like not taken any action about it. And they have like acknowledged Israeli influence operations targeted at Meta in the past. So all of these things point out to the like probability that Meta is intentionally allowing this to happen and allowing these individuals to dictate these policies, especially when it comes to censorship related to Israel.
And Nicholas, a Human Rights Watch report titled Investigating Meta's Moderation of Pro-Palestine Content post October 7th found that of 1,050 posts they were able to document as having been taken down or suppressed on Facebook or Instagram, all but one of them involved peaceful content in support of Palestine. And the one other post was actually, it contained content supportive of Israel. Were your sources within Meta's integrity organization able to confirm internal reviews of their automated moderation? And if so, what were their findings regarding to their accuracy in removing only content that did, in fact, violate Meta's policies?
Yeah, so just as that report found it in Human Rights Watch, some of the sources we spoke to indicated that there's a process they go through. I forget the exact name they use, but it's basically like a sanity check. They pull down a sample of the posts that were automatically moderated every so often, and they review the decisions that were made to see if they made any sense. And if not, you know, they can act upon that and edit the processes that they're using. In this case, around Palestine, specifically after October 7th, the sources communicated to me that there were multiple instances where they did such sanity checks, and they found that posts were being moderated, acted upon, removed, you know, or otherwise, you know, accounts being kind of banned for content that had no violations at all. And I just, you know, an earlier question you asked that I forgot to get to was, what does action upon mean exactly? So action upon can mean a couple things. It can mean when a post is first posted on the platform, it's removed immediately. That's kind of like the first round pass. It can mean that later on, when a user reports the post, the automated algorithms decide that it should be removed, or a human moderator decides it should be removed. Or it can also mean, in a more severe case, the content is struck, which means that it's removed, and there's also a strike in Meta's parlance that is given against the account. If an account gets too many strikes, the entire account is banned. So the sources I spoke to were saying that in their own internal reviews, that content was being not only flagged when it shouldn't be, but also it was often being given a more severe level of flagging that could lead to an entire account being taken off the platform.
Interesting. Lakas, what makes the Israeli government's takedown campaign exceptional among all countries is its desire and success in, as discussed, censoring speech in so many other countries. Notably, you report that only 1.3% of Israel's takedown requests target Israeli users, making Israel an outlier among governments, which typically focus their censorship efforts on their own citizens. Can you give us some comparisons with other countries and talk about how Israel has ramped up its outward censorship efforts to silence critics and the timeline of those efforts in relationship to Israel's ongoing genocide in Gaza and accelerated ethnic cleansing campaign in the West Bank?
Yeah, so let's take example of Malaysia. Malaysia sends takedown requests to Meta just like so many other countries, but 63% of those are about posts that originate by Malaysian citizens inside Malaysia. Similarly, Brazil, for example, Brazil has 94%. So 94% of Brazilian takedown requests would be content that comes from inside Brazil. Like Bangladesh is 51%. India is 66%. Indonesia, 80%. And like these are mostly above 50%, like universally. Countries focus on things inside their borders. Now for Israel, it's 21%. Their biggest target is Egypt, 21%. Then after that, Jordan, 16%. After that, Palestine, 15%. Algeria, 8%. Yemen, 7%. If you see a pattern, these are all Muslim majority countries that are around Israel, that have something going on with Israel, that have foreign policy issues with Israel. So the citizens of these countries are being targeted. Now, Israel's campaign is unique in the sense that all of these things are without careful vetting by Facebook being accepted. So that means a lot of harmless content is going through. And because a lot of harmless content is going through, the AI is being trained on that harmless content. That means in the future, in perpetuity, all of this harmless content that is even slightly critical of Israel, it will be classified as speech promoting terrorism. So that would have chilling effects in like future for the next, like however long Facebook has this dominant position in the social media market.
Yeah, that to me is the most chilling part about the Israeli government's successful censoring of speech in so many countries is the training of the AI program and how it's, currently, as you just explained, being trained. Is there anything that people can do about this, Nicholas?
I would say stop using those platforms. I mean, I think there have been decisions from up top that perpetuate or otherwise ignore these trends, like letting a hostile government influence your platform's automated moderation in such ways. It's a decision, ultimately. They could do something about this, and they're not. And in the case of a platform like Meta, which I believe has 2 billion users globally, they need automated systems to be able to handle the amount of content they get. So if they're not willing to investigate, if they're not willing to put a stop to the abuses of priority channels like government takedown requests, then I think the only thing that can really be done is to move away from those platforms, or at the very least understand their limitations and understand that they may not be a safe place for this kind of content.
Perhaps to kill two birds with one stone, because, you know, we need to break these big monopolies anyway. And public opinion about Israel is plummeting. So this could be a great ad campaign for a independent platform or several independent platforms that would like to take their place. You guys do incredible reporting at DropSite. I'm so grateful for you taking the time out of your weekend to join us, and you can be sure we're definitely going to invite you back again soon.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you so much.
As Deep Throat advised in All the President's Men, follow the money. Look at who is profiting. While it's difficult to fathom that Meta is not profiting from their astoundingly dishonest compliance with Israeli government takedown requests, an Al Jazeera investigation has found that Meta is profiting from various Israeli government-supported content, including content which may violate international law. Some of the content in question includes paid advertisements by companies selling homes in illegal Israeli West Bank settlements, individuals and organizations fundraising to buy weapons for Israeli soldiers in Gaza, and even advertisements calling for the destruction of Palestinian homes, schools, and children's parks. Legal experts told Al Jazeera that Meta could be complicit in violations of international law by approving, accepting payment for, and publishing some of these advertisements. For instance, all Israeli settlements in the West Bank are illegal under international law, as is transfer of an occupying power's civilian population into occupied territory, which is a war crime. Some of the homes advertised are part of an expansion approved last year by Israel's Higher Planning Committee, which is overseen by far-right Finance Minister Bezalel Smotrich. Follow the money. There are countless things we don't know about what the future will bring. But one thing we know for sure is that we all need KPFK's independent programming and critical analysis of events. This is the place so many of us come to hear from scientists, activists, artists, writers, academics, and public intellectuals and journalists like our guests today, Waqas Ahmed and Nicholas Rodello. Now more than ever, we need our community to band together to keep each other safe, informed, and well. And we need our radio station, KPFK, to continue to widely communicate with one another and understand what is happening in the world around us, because we are all interconnected. Please help us continue doing what we do best, programming, by calling 818-985-5735. That's 818-985-5735, or log on to kpfk.org to donate whatever you can afford. No donation is too small. If you appreciate our programming, if you depend on our independent reporting, if our music and cultural shows get you through your days, please grab your phone now to make a pledge at 818-985-5735 or online at kpfk.org. Help us keep Middle East in Focus, Radio Intifada, Reggae Central, and all your favorite KPFK shows on the air. Once again, I want to thank our guests, data analyst and researcher for DropSite News, Nicholas Rodello, and DropSite News journalist, Waqas Ahmed, who keeps his gaze on the intersections of technology and politics. His Twitter handle is at WORQAS. I also want to thank Ozzy for his production support today. Our theme song is The Overture from Summer Night's Dream by Marcel Khalife. For KPFK Los Angeles, I'm Esty Chandler, thanking you for your continued support of KPFK and for taking this time to put the Middle East in focus.
Hey, this is Wanda Sykes, and you're listening to KPFK 90.7 FM Los Angeles. And if you like to shell out a few bucks, you know, keep us up and running so I can have nice conversation in a cool voice like this. Pick up the phone and call 818-985-5735. That's 818-985-KPFK. Thank you.
Support comes from UCLA Center for the Art of Performance, presenting Lagartijas Tiradas al Sol's Centroamérica on April 26th at the Nimoy. The Mexican collective explores Central America in its latest work that utilizes documentary elements and theatrical innovation